Blog Talk Radio.
All praises to the Heavenly Father. He has all power in His hand. His mercy endures forever. I love you more than life, y'all. I feel like Enoch in my cave when I pray. Full of meditation, got my head on straight. Been battling the devil with my scripts all day. Unload and reload precepts in his face. Stuck in a place when I'm dwelling on Yah. Frankincense and myrrh, got my soul on high. Vision after vision, Yah, take me to the sky. I've been blessed with these wings, so I might as well fly. Soul at peace, our corruption has deceased. 7 days ain't eat, still strong on my feet. Even though the flesh weak, my soul willing. In my secret chamber, me and Yah just chilling.
Right.
Me and Mikael, Gabriel, Uriel, showing me the wicked in the gates of the hell.
Man.
And in that moment, I felt something deep inside. A love I could feel, something I can't describe. It was more than life. That's right.
I love you,
Yah.
More than life.
I feel like Noah when he died on the ark. About to be saved from the wicked man's heart. Hands in the sky looking up at the Creator. Blessed since birth to inherit Yah's favor.
That's right.
The old must pass, looking forward to the new. Gotta face tribulation for the skies get blue. Every wave is an obstacle beating at your life. When the waters used to roar, I was up all night. Praying for my safety in the eye of the storm. Satan tried to get me since the night I was born. And even through the gray and the clouds of the day, I could see the light as the clouds break away. Now the water would descend as it wash away sin. It will show a new era from beginning to the end. Stepping out on faith, y'all, words can't describe. The love that you show me is more than life. Love is more than life. Words can't describe.
You and I,
y'all.
I love you.
More than life.
I feel like Moshe with the stiff-necked people. After all the miracles they see, they still evil.
Man.
Don't wanna believe that you hold all power.
Yes.
Still gonna deny you to the very last hour. Every miracle you perform in our sight.
From
then to Yahushua, bring it back life.
Life.
No matter what I do, I can't help them see the light. Seeing then they can't see, I guess they all lose a sight. Showing people proof, but they still won't listen. Don't wanna believe that Yahushua exists.
Yeah.
Can't feel the love, cause there's no love in them.
None.
Can't accept truth, cause the lie's still in them.
Lies.
All I can do is pray that God transcend them and take them to a place that's beyond our mental.
That's right.
And they'll feel a love no words can describe that can go beyond death, because it's more than life. I love you, y'all.
Words don't describe
how I feel. I love you.
You and I,
y'all. I love you more than life. That's right. You love Yah more than life itself. If you're willing to die for Yah, if you're willing to throw away everything and follow Yah, keep His commandments, His laws, and His statutes. Come on, let me hear you say it.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to episode of Israel Now Radio. It's your host, Yahshua. Just want to say shalom, shalom to everybody. Hope everybody had a great Sabbath day yesterday. I know I definitely did. We always enjoy the Sabbath day. It's always a beautiful thing. See the Almighty's people come together each and every week, just as the Almighty intended us to do. Just a couple of announcements. I always want to put that to the forefront. To just invite our people to always, you know, check out our radio show every Sunday. I think this time and day of Sunday, 6:30 p.m. is going to work for me. Just the same time that I was doing for, you know, quite a few years. A lot of our older radio shows all the way back from 2010, it was always during the same time, Sundays at 6:30 p.m. So back at this time and back at this day, which going to work out, I think, more better. So, but what we'll do is it'll be a short show every week, like a 45-minute show. We're not going to do the 2 hours that we were doing in the past, but we'll do every Sunday, 6:30 Eastern time, about 45-minute show, and just go from there. It's enough time to just talk to the people, put some information on the table, maybe some Q&A if some of the listening audience has some questions or comments, some things they wanted to say or bring out. That'll be good as well. But just see another announcement. Just anybody that's in the Cincinnati, Ohio area, just wanted to invite any Hebrews out, anybody seeking truth, anybody that's a servant and willing to serve the Most High Yahweh, we want to invite you out to Israel Now, our congregation, our synagogue, which is located at 270 Northland Boulevard, Suite 105, every Sabbath day. Starting at 2 p.m. until sunset. We don't have a specific time that we let out. We have other brothers down in Fort Worth, Texas. Anyone in that area, you can congregate at 2700 Village Creek Drive in Fort Worth, Texas, every Sabbath day, starting at 11 a.m. All right, that's 11 a.m., and I believe they're on Central Time. Yeah, they should be on Central Time. But, yeah, just wanted to, just come on again, maybe talk about a few things, whatever just comes to my mind here and there, maybe some random topics. If anybody on the listening call line right now that has something that they wanted to say or bring out, push number one, I'll get you on. But, first and foremost, before I get started with going through any other information, just wanted to give all praises, all honor to the Most High Yahweh, because without the Almighty, we wouldn't have life. We wouldn't have the chance for eternal life. None of this would be possible. So we want to thank the Most High for everything that He has done for us, everything that He will do for us, even in the future. So just wanted to say that as well. But actually, I know something that actually just came to my mind. Something we had talked about a little bit, very, very briefly yesterday during the Sabbath service. I'm just bring this out really quick and just move on because I think it's good sometimes just to put things on a radio show. We have different people listen to our radio show than different people listen to us live and, just different things like that. But concerning fringes, I'm going to just bring out something really quick. That a lot of people might not know. I actually got the Hebrew in front of me, too. So Numbers 15, verse 37 through 41. Of course, you could read the scripture concerning fringes there. I'm not going to read the whole scripture. I'm sure most of our people are very familiar with it. But Numbers 15 is talking about fringes, and it is talking about the fringes, with the border of blue. But that word fringes, I'm getting ready to give you the Hebrew word for fringes there. That word fringes is Hebrew 6734. 6734. And that word is zizit. 6734. All right. It says the definition is a floral or wing-like. It says... that is a forelock of hair or tassel, a fringe or a lock. So that's the definition for that one. And it is the word zizit, and it comes from the Hebrew word number 6734. When you look in a concordance and you want to know what Hebrew word is written there for fringe or fringes. Okay. Now, let's go to the other commandment concerning fringes. The other one is written in Deuteronomy chapter 22. And verse number 12. Now, the one that I just read in number 15, again, that is the fringes with the border of blue that goes all the way around, and the fringes hang from that border of blue. All right, now in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 12, it says, thou shalt make the fringes, the same English word fringes, upon the four quarters of thy vesture. These are the fringes that you have four of them, like four strings will hang from you, two in the front, two in the back. Divide your body up into fourths, one fourth. All right, it's four of them. It's divided up into one fourth. Now, the Hebrew word for fringes in this verse is Hebrew word number 1434. Two totally different Hebrew words. Now, let's see what that Hebrew word is. This Hebrew word is gedel. And the definition of gedel is means, it says, in the sense of twisting. Anybody knows how to make these type of fringes, what are you doing? You're twisting. You're twisting something. All right? Just in and of itself, just right there, two totally different commandments, two totally different Hebrew words. We can say they're related in some way, but they're two totally different commandments. So it says, in a sense of twisting, then it says a thread, that is a tassel, fringe, wreath. So we see this one is gedel in Deuteronomy 22. The other one is tzitzit in Numbers 12. The tzitzit is the one that we were commanded to have the border of blue. The gedel, there is no color associated with the gedel. It could be any color you want to have, but it is in a sense of twisting. Anybody that makes these fringes, they're twisting. They're twisting them. So just wanted to bring that out because this seems to be very, very, something is not known. You know what I mean? So we want to bring, whenever we come to the table and we do these shows, we want to bring out some information. I don't want to just always confirm, which is a good thing as well, and we will do, confirm what you already know, believe. We also want to bring out more information to the vast listening audience. You know, it's a lot of things that we may deal with in our congregation that other congregations may not deal with. They may not be privy to. Likewise, whatever congregation you're from, I'm sure you guys may talk about different things that the other people around the country may not know and talk about. So it's about sharing information with each other and building with each other. We could take something from this congregation, something from another congregation, something somebody else said. You put it all together, you know what I mean? As long as you can, as long as it's good doctrine, good information, even if it is or if it's not, sometimes it's something they're going to say that's good. And as long as you are able to have the spirit of discernment and you can, as they say, you know, chew the meat and spit out the bones. You know, the things that are not good, you don't have to take that when you know in your spirit that some things are not right. But at the same time, they make you some things that are good as well. So that's sometimes a good thing when we as the nation of Israel can come together and share information without any strife or hardship or anything like that. So just wanted to bring those two points out, give people something to think about, somebody to go back and just look at it, research, and, you know, it's pretty much a done deal. Archaeology actually testifies to the fact of the two different types of, as the English word, say, fringes, but archaeology testifies to the fact that our people wore both the gedels and the tzitzit. Let me see. So what else was sometimes I go through Facebook or and just see what people talking about, things like that. I did take a poll for starting the radio show back up, what topics different people would like to hear, and I'm going to probably start delving into those topics in the next few weeks as well, you know, whatever people suggested, just going to those type of things as well. Give the people pretty much whatever different topics they may wanted to know about for whatever particular reason. So let me hit a couple scriptures real quick. Let me go to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6 to read this. It's a good start for the day. It's always a great, great blessing when you find out who you are. It brings the scriptures even that much more intimate to you, that much more closer to you. So the sixth verse, Deuteronomy chapter 7, it says, "For thou art an holy people unto Yahweh thy Elohim. Yahweh have chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." And that's how the Almighty feels about us, the children of Israel. We're supposed to be a special people to the Most High Yah above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Therefore, part of our job is to keep these commandments. The Almighty gave us these commandments, and he didn't give them to any other nation. All right, and let's go to Psalms 147 to verify that fact. I'm going to read verse 19 and 20. because the Almighty said he gave his commandments to Israel. And these commandments is what sets us apart from all the other nations of the world, by the keeping of these commandments. Because if we're not keeping the commandments, you know, we're not set apart. We're not holy. We're not set apart from the other nations. We're just like the other nations. So in the book of Psalms 147, verse 19 says, "He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye Yahweh." So again, he shows his judgments unto Israel. He have not dealt so with any other nation. And so we have to feel very honored that the Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, has chosen us and gave us his word and gave us his commandments as a nation of people. Like, how can you forsake that type of blessing? How can you forsake that type of calling when you understand who the Most High is and you understand who you are as an Israelite? And the Almighty called us and bestowed this great favor upon us, bestowed this great grace upon us, you know, because the word grace really just means unmerited favor, you know. Even before a covenant was made and with the nation of Israel, the Almighty chose us from, as the scripture says, from the foundation of the world. We can go to different scriptures and then he talk about how he made the world for Israel. Well, there was no nation of Israel when he made the world. All right. The nation of Israel is actually the last nation the Almighty made. Remember, the scripture says the last shall be first. We're the last nation the Almighty made. Because we can go to Genesis 10 and we can find Japheth's descendants, which are all these different Europeans throughout Europe. We can look at Ham's descendants, which is mostly covered throughout the continent of Africa. Ham had descendants like Canaan, you know, which the Canaanites, who were in the land of Israel before the Israelites went there, our people went there. We have Mitzram, which are the Egyptians, which come from Ham. We have Cush, which are the Ethiopians that come from Ham. So all these different nations. We could go to Shem's descendants, and we see all the different descendants of Shem throughout their land, but we don't read about any Israelites at that time. But it's already around 70-some nations set up. All right, we don't read about Israelites yet until a little more down the line when the Israelite nation came. So if I'm not mistaken, Israelites were the last nation upon the face of the earth, according to scripture. And of course, we came out, Esau came out first, and Jacob came out after Esau. Okay, so which would make the Edomite nation a little older than the Israelite nation. We're both Hebrews, Hebrew Israelites, Hebrew Edomites. So yeah, that's something that's very important to remember as well. Of course, our forefathers before that, the Almighty still dealt with the same righteous seed line from the descendants all the way from Adam through Shem and all of Shem's descendants. The Almighty still dealt with these righteous men through this certain seed line that the nation of Israel came from, but just the nation of Israel, period, meaning the descendants of Jacob, which that's what an Israelite is, we didn't come along until later. All right. So, again, just something to think about, something to point out. I think sometimes people don't realize that fact. That's why they can bring out certain things and say, well, the Egyptian belief system is older than this, or this is older than this. Well, a lot of them things are older than the Israelites, you know, because a lot of our stuff before the Israelites came and before Moses came, a lot of this stuff wasn't really written down because it was written in a place that man cannot erase. It was written in a place that man cannot add to nor take away. And a lot of our belief systems was written in the heavens. The Almighty told us in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14 to use the lights that I put in the sky for signs, for seasons, for days and years. The problem is a lot of people don't understand what signs, seasons, days and years according to the scripture and according to Hebrew. you know, rather ancient or modern Hebrew. And when you understand what that is, you'll find out that, hey, a lot of these things were already given to our people, you know, but they were not written with the pen of man, but they were written, you know, in the heavens, how the Almighty showed his handiwork all through the heavens and showed our people of ancient times different lessons on how to live and all these different things, showed us that the Messiah would come and all the things that the Messiah would do that our people long awaited for thousands of years until he came and arrived on the scene. And Daniel chapter 9, the 24th through the 27th verse, actually predicted the exact timeline that the Messiah would come. Likewise, the book of Second Address, Ezra also predicted the exact time frame that the Messiah would come. We have both of the prophets prophesying that the Messiah will come around the same timeline. The Messiah had to come around the first century, according to the prophecy of Daniel and according to the prophecy of Azariah. So we're not looking for no prophecy or no Messiah today. So anyone, you know, a lot of people were saying this person is the Messiah today, this person, a couple of the people who they were saying were the Messiah, they just recently died within the past 30 years. It's just always, and of course, I'm sure there are going to be some more on the horizon very soon. The people are ripe and prime to accept false messiahs. They just are. It's just the way of the world. It's the way of how it's going to be in the last days. True Messiah told us they're going to arise false Christ and false messiahs, and they shall deceive many. So, hey, look out for it. It's going to happen. You know, it's already been happening, and it's going to continue to happen. So look for the next one to come. You just don't get wrapped up in it, because our Messiah is in the heavens, seated at the right hand of the Father, thus says the scripture. All right? And he's not coming back in the secret chamber where somebody going to have to tell you, like, oh, he's over here. Let's go follow him. Or, oh, he's over there. Nope. He's coming back in the sky where every eye shall see him. So it's not going to be no doubt. And then he's going to take over this whole kingdom, this whole world, and rule this world for 1,000 years with a rod of iron and cause everyone to keep these commandments, the same commandments written in the Torah for 1,000 years. And whoever don't keep them will be punished. We can't mistake that. You know, that's not some guy sitting somewhere in a closet somewhere and only a handful of people know about him. That's not his second coming. The whole world going to know his second coming, because he's going to rule all nations. All nations. He will be the king of the whole earth, and he'll have certain Israelites to assist him in that. You know, 144,000. That's what the 144,000 is, to assist the Messiah in recovering the world for 1,000 years. All right, but let me go to something in the book of Revelation, which is, I don't know, one of my favorite chapters to read, Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Actually, the 21st and the 22nd are like two. I'll start at the 21st chapter. When we really read this and you actually looking at all the blessings that the Almighty have for his righteous, so everything that we're enduring right now is worth it. When we read what the Almighty has stored up for you, all of those that love him and obey him and keep his commandments. Revelation 21 and verse 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." And so some people, mainly the witnesses, the people that knock on your door, they'll tell you that it's a new heaven and a new earth, but they'll tell you that it's really the same earth. It's just this earth remade new, meaning like the people are going to be more righteous now and not be wicked and things like that. But that's actually not the case when we look at this verse, because it says the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was what? No more sea. So the new earth, the earth we live on now, is mainly composed of sea. It's mainly composed of water. You know, if you listen to the people that tell you it's like 70% water or 75 or something like that. Well, the new earth won't be like that. No more sea. It'll be all land. All right. Verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Elohim out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Elohim is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Elohim himself shall be with them, and be their Elohim. Verse 4, and Elohim shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words, write, for these words are faithful and true. Okay, so he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. For the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So again, I think this is something that we touched on recently in our congregation. All of these people who, you know, sorcerers, idolaters, all these things that are against the law. And here we're in the book of Revelation, the second to last chapter, and it's letting you know, it's talking about all these things that the law says not to do. And it says if you participate in these things all the way back from, and it's in the Torah, we can show in, I believe, Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, that the Almighty said, you don't be a sorcerer. We can show in the scriptures where you can't be a murderer, where you shouldn't be an idolater, all these things, where you shouldn't be a liar. So obviously the law still stands, because if the law doesn't stand, why are these people putting in the lake of fire for not keeping these laws? This doesn't make any sense. But this verse 8, it says in the latter part of verse 8. Actually, I'll just read the whole verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. That's the lake of fire. And when they get there, what are they going to suffer? Which is the second death. They're going to suffer the second death. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. So we're going to show you the Lamb's wife. Verse 10, and he carried me, 1 second. Okay, it says, and he carried me away in the spirit to that great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from Elohim. So that holy city is leaving heaven and coming down to the new earth. Verse 11, having the glory of Elohim, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So even that city itself, we know that the Father will be in that city, the Most High will be in that city, the Son will be in that city, the Holy Spirit will be in that city, but we also know that the Father will be lighting up that city, right? But here in verse 11, that city even has the glory of the Most High on that city as well. So the city is of all these, you know, pure gold and things like that, and it's lit up even of itself. All right, verse number 12. And had a great wall, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names that written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. This is how much the Almighty loved the children of Israel, that in that city we're going to live forever. Our names
are on those gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So this is a beautiful thing that we're reading. Verse 13, on the east gate, on the east, three gates, on the north, three gates, on the south, three gates, and on the west, three gates. So we got three gates on the north, south, east, and west, which makes up 12. All right, each one have one of the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So the walls of the city have the 12 apostles of the Messiah on it. Verse 15, and he talked with me, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth of the height of it are equal. So it says the length, the breadth, and the height are all equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedonia, or however you pronounce that, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth a chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as if it were transparent glass. So you just imagine this, what we're reading, and how beautiful this city looked. It's something like you've never seen before, never seen anything this beautiful before, any city. All right, verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for Yahweh Elohim Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So we see the whole spiritual connection as well. All the way back in the Old Testament, we had a temple, right? Now we don't have a temple, and the scriptures in the New Testament let us know that we are the Most High's temple right now. We are the temple, meaning where does the Almighty dwell in the Old Testament? Sometimes his presence would go into that temple that was in Jerusalem, all right? He didn't permanently live there or dwell there, but his presence would be there sometime. Okay, when the people would go there to minister and to do different things. So now there's no temple, but what did the Almighty say? I'm going to put my spirit within you, within each and every one of our bodies. So we are the temple of the Most High. And we think about that. We have a little piece of the Creator living inside of us. So how can we do things harmful to each other? How can we hate each other? How can we despise each other? And we are all the Almighty's people, and we are all the Almighty's children, trying to seek and serve the Almighty, you know, so we can inherit and get to this this city that we're reading about right now, you know. So let me finish up. Verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for Yahweh Elohim Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. We see that just like we're the temple, they're the temple. It won't be any need for a temple then, all right? Why? Because mostly the temple was used for sacrifices. All right, there won't be no sacrifices in that day. Won't be no need for no sacrifices. All right, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of Elohim did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So the Father, we can see the Father, Elohim and the Lamb being the light thereof. So they are lighting up this whole city and shining up the city. So when it say the Lamb, we know that's the sun. When it say the glory of God or Elohim, that's the Father and the Holy Spirit, because even here, God is is a plural. All right, verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into the city, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So who's going to be in that city? Only those that are written in the book of life. All right. How do you get in the book of life? You have to keep the commandments as an Israelite. You have to believe in the Messiah. All right, how do you get in the book of life? You have to keep the commandments and believe in the Messiah. And that's for all people, because all people were given some sort of commandments. Whatever the commandments the Almighty gave you, you got to keep them commandments to get in the book of life. If you're a Levite, you have different commandments than one from the tribe of Judah have to keep. You know, of course, the Levitical priesthood is not standing right now because we don't know who the priests are and things like that. But it's just, I'm using that for an example. Men have certain commandments that women don't have to keep. Women have certain commandments that men don't have to keep. So everything is in context. Likewise, Israel have certain commandments that other nations didn't have. Other nations had commandments that Israel didn't have. And, you know, you just have to look at the whole thing, the whole big picture. It's a big picture. So let me go to chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, it says in verse number 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruits every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So this is the tree of life. Remember, we read about the tree of life in the book of Genesis. We haven't seen this tree of life again, really, until at the end of the book. We see it at the beginning of the book. We see it at the end of the book. This tree of life represents eternal life. When you eat from the tree of life, you receive eternal life. Verse number 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of Elohim and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for Yahweh Elohim giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So this is an absolute beautiful time. Verse 6, and he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And Yahweh Elohim of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then he said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship Elohim. Verse 10, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quick, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall he be. or shall work shall be. Verse 13, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. So if you want to live in that city that we just read about, this city that the Almighty will be there, the sun will be there, the city with the streets of gold and all these beautiful things, you have to do what? Keep the commandments. Blessed is he that keeps, can have right to the tree of life, which means you'll live forever, and may enter in through the gates of the city. So you can live in that city forever and ever and ever, because you will never die. Why? If you keep the commandments. But we already read earlier, the people that's not keeping the commandments are going where? To the lake of fire. So it's all about the commandments. As soon as you go to pretty much any Christian church, they're not keeping, they're not teaching you the commandments. They're actually teaching you not to keep the commandments. So who you think set up these churches? Satan set up these churches, because Satan is the god of this world. And the god of this world have deceived the whole world not to keep the commandments. The very thing that we read in the end of the book that we have to do. And this is the end of the book. This is written, and this is after the Messiah had already came and died for the sins of the people. All right, let me finish up. Verse 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So that's without, meaning without the city, meaning they don't get to inherit that city. They don't get to come in and live in that city. Verse 16, I, Yahawashah, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Verse 17, and the spirit and the bride, and the spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, Elohim shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, Elohim shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now that's very, very important, because the Almighty is saying here, look, if anybody take away from what I just told you, how it's going to happen and go down in the last days, the Almighty is going to take away. If your name is not in the book of life, you don't get to live forever. If you don't get to live forever, you don't get to live forever and be in that city. But he said, if you take away the things out of this book. So what about all of these people that are not teaching this, what I just read? Because if you go to a lot of places and you say, hey, what's the last days going to be like? How is it going to be? How are we going to live forever? How does that all play out? You know that you won't get any of this that I just read in a whole lot of places. I'm talking about from churches to Muslim mosques to many Israelite congregations. You'll get all type of other stuff, but not get what we just read here, that that's how it's going to be. You know, some people think you only go back to the physical land of Israel and live there, you know, and then you have kids and you die and that's it. The Almighty's blessings is far greater than that. But so we're up on the 45-minute time, so I'm just going to stop here because I think it will cut us off right at 45 minutes. But just wanted to say again, join us next week, same time. And thanks for listening in. Shalom, shalom.